Inside Hogwarts, a Harry Potter podcast made by kids for kids. I'm Daisy.
And I'm Vaughn.
And today we're talking about Chapter 3 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, The Advance Guard. So this week we are officially on spring break, and I'm super excited because we just kind of get to do whatever we want for an entire week, which is really nice because school is pretty stressful, I would say. There's a lot of homework. So, Vaughn, what are you going to do this week to occupy your time?
Maybe getting lunch with some of my friends. I'm going to watch some movies.
Didn't you recently watch a Harry Potter movie?
I watched number 6.
How was it? I think I was there for a little bit of it.
As good as it always has been.
It's a good movie. I definitely like that one. It's probably in my top 3. Obviously, it's probably in your top movies if you pick to watch over the other ones. Do you think you'll watch, if you had to pick a Harry Potter movie to watch this week, which one would you watch?
Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Part 2. I think I like Deathly Hallows Part 1 better. But I can't really decide. Like, Part 2 is basically just the battle. And then Part 1 is like, I think I like Part 1 because it kind of goes more into the Horcrux hunting, I guess, right? I mean, it's basically all Part 1 is. Right?
I don't think so. They do some Horcrux hunting, but part of it is also in number 2.
And then also they go to the ministry in number 1. That's like the big part that I remember. The wedding, they go to the ministry. I think I started part 1 recently and then I ended up turning it off and didn't finish it. But it's fine. Yeah, so I'm super excited for this break. Probably, like I said, going to do a lot of Harry Potter stuff. Before I start, I just want to tell you guys about this really cool Harry Potter video I found on YouTube. It's like, Vaughn, there's a tab open of it on your computer, but it's basically like an Harry Potter ambience on YouTube. It's just a picture of Hogwarts, but it's raining. There's like thunder in the background. It's cloudy.
Does it change throughout the thing?
No, it's just consistently raining, and then there's thunder and lightning every now and then. But like the music, it's just like all of it combined is so good. I'm gonna link it for you guys because I'm listening to it right now while we record, and it's very good.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we?
Oh, he does start. The guy that made it. He has a channel with a bunch of other things. Like, he has one for the Bilbo Baggins Hobbit home. It's all Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, that's
except
so cool.
For the Harry Potter one.
That's really cool. I really like ambience on YouTube because I think these people do a pretty good job with it. All right, now I might start listening to the 1 hour of Frank Sinatra playing in the other room. But I will link the Harry Potter one for you guys because, like I said, I like ambience on YouTube, so maybe you guys do too. All right, this chapter is the beginning, well, I guess, of Harry being angry throughout this book. He's very consistently angry in this chapter, and I don't really go into it a lot, but he's just frustrated, like, most of the time. So, first sentence. I've just been attacked by Dementors, and I might be expelled from Hogwarts. I want to know what's going on and when I'm going to get out of here. Harry wrote this phrase on 3 pieces of parchment and addressed them to Sirius, Hermione, and Ron. When Hedwig came back with a frog in her beak, she flew off with the letters. So, I forget what the situation is, but hasn't Hermione and Ron both, like, not been talking to Harry for the entire summer?
No, they've been talking to Harry, but they've been ordered not to tell him anything. Like, not to talk to him specifically about things.
So, like, he's trying to ask them for information and, like,
they're
just not giving him anything?
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah, so he writes them these letters and because he wants information, and no one responds. The next morning, Hedwig had still not returned. Harry stayed in his room the entire day, and he only left his room to go to the bathroom, and he was given food through the cat flap that Vernon had installed in his bedroom door 3 summers ago, which I really try to defend Vernon and Petunia as much as I can with saying, like, Harry Potter was not abused. Like, I say that a lot. But, like, they were literally feeding him through a cat flap. That sounds kind of abusive. Like, people kidnap kids, feed them through cat flaps.
What if your child had an extremely powerful weapon that you couldn't take from them, or they would use it on you?
I guess that's true,
for
but,
years,
like,
for years they've been
he wasn't really gonna use it
if he, bad stuff. But
they've been really weird.
They've been using it.
But, like, here's the thing.
They've even threatened your family using it.
If Harry wanted to use it on them, he would have just busted out of his room and used it, right? Because there's nothing stopping him from doing it. He could have just blown his door off its hinges, broken out, performed Avada Kedavra on the
That's why they need to feed him through a cat flap.
So he could hurt them no matter what.
So that he doesn't have the opportunity to Avada Kedavra them while they're opening the door. He's not human. He's a wizard.
That's true, I guess. That makes sense. I didn't really think about it like that.
Good thinking,
like,
on Vernon's
your
part.
Child has an extremely powerful weapon. Like, I guess I didn't really think about it like that. But that's true. So, the next morning... Oh, I already said that. 3 summers ago. Do you remember when Vernon had instilled that in his door? Because I don't remember the... Okay, it's 3 summers ago. 3 summers ago was the summer of Chamber of Secrets.
Yes,
so that was when, like, Vernon...
Oh, when
that was when Vernon was
this thing.
Yeah. Well, that was when Vernon was installing, like, grates on the windows or something.
Yeah.
Bars on the windows. Yeah. This continued for another 3 days. So Harry, for 3 days, is getting cabin fever, living inside of his room, only leaving to go to the bathroom. On the 4th night, Vernon came into Harry's room and told him that they were going out. And he said that Harry was not to leave his room or touch any of their possessions while they were gone. Vernon left and locked Harry's door behind him.
Like, that's good.
Which is like, what'd you say?
Harry can't use his wand. You know, without getting.
And they're locking him in his room anyway? And they're locking him in his room anyway, which is, like, so weird.
Why does it lock from the outside?
Exactly.
That's just asking for yourself to get locked in by somebody else.
Exactly. No, I don't think it's Harry's doing. I think Vernon changed it, so he can't lock it, but Vernon can lock it from the outside. It's like, so that Harry can never leave, basically, right?
Essentially, he can't leave unless he uses some other object to break out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a hammer.
Nice. Yeah, basically. Harry was lying in his bed, and it was nighttime when people started entering the house. He stood in front of the door holding his wand up, and he believed that there were burglars.
How did he get out of the room?
He didn't. He stood in front of, like, the door on his side of the room.
Oh, I thought the front door.
No. His own, like, bedroom door. So the lock on his door clicked and it swung open. Did it swing? Do you think it swung indoor or swung out?
And it swung open. I'm sure it swung,
like,
out.
So maybe.
Right,
okay.
No,
so hear me out.
In.
No, hear me out. I think what Vernon did is he completely just took the door off its hinges and, like, flipped it. So it opens outward and it locks from the outside. Like, he completely just flipped it.
No. Because if you flip the door around, it would still open inward. It's just the knob would be on the opposite side. The hinges would be on the opposite side. But that doesn't stop, because the door stopper determines if it opens in or out.
Okay. What if it just went into...
It does open out. But
yeah, I bet
it
what
looked
kind of
weird
did.
With the hinges sticking out in the hallway.
True. I bet what Vernon did is he went into a carpenter a carpenter's store, and he said, and he winked at him, and he said, "I have a little problem."
My and child the carpenter is said, extremely annoying.
And then the carpenter
and
said,
to lock
and
him
then,
in his room indefinitely.
Indefinitely. And the carpenter said, "Sir, I don't know if I can help you with that." And then the carpenter motioned for the coworker to call the police. But the coworker didn't, because the coworker was intrigued. So then the carpenter said, "What can I do for you, sir?" And then Vernon said, "I want a door that locks from the outside and opens outward." And that was how the door came into fruition. So the carpenter truly did assist with that one. Harry kept his wand up until... Oh, wait. So, did I... I don't know if I said this part, but I'll just say it again. He saw 8 or 9 people standing below, one of which was Mad-Eye Moody, who told Harry to lower his wand. Harry kept his wand up until he heard Lupin say it was all right and that they had come to take him away. Would you trust them?
They had come to take him away. I would trust them. It's Mad-Eye.
Like, what if they were just a group of Death Eaters who were like, okay, let's all transform into people that Harry trusts?
They have to have the same voices. Sorry, they don't. Their voices don't transition over when you drink polyjuice.
How do you think Barty Crouch Jr. got away with that then?
With what? Oh,
like, did he just learn the accent?
It's kind of inconsistent. Does polyjuice change?
Yeah, I think it is pretty inconsistent because with like when they turned into Crabbe and Goyle, when Ron and Harry turned into Crabbe and Goyle, they did not change voices. But Moody did.
The potion does change the voice, but not the person's natural speech patterns.
Okay. No, it doesn't. It doesn't change the voice, because that's why Harry
and Ron... That might just be the movies.
I think that the movie is... It's so weird. It's really weird. I don't like that inconsistency. It bugs me a lot, because then I'm, like, trying to remember what's fact, or what's canon, and what's just kind of, like, what I've kind of piece together in my mind about it. A young witch with purple hair said Lumos so that Harry could see them. One of the wizards said that Harry looked just like James, and a witch said that he had his mother's eyes. He couldn't believe that he had gone 4 weeks without any messages from anyone, and now there was a group of wizards standing in the kitchen as if it had been all planned out. Lupin said that they would be taking him somewhere rather undetectable, because they didn't want to take him to the Burrow since he had already gone there previous summers and it just wouldn't be as safe as going somewhere new. He then introduced Harry to Alistair Moody, Tonks, Kingsley Shacklebolt, Elpheus Doge, Daedalus Diggle, Emmeline Vance, Sturgis Podmore, and Hestia Jones. Emmeline Vance, Sturgis Podmore, and Hestia Jones aren't really that important, right?
No, they're not.
What about Elpheus Doge?
He is in number 7, I think.
He is? Okay. Daedalus Diggle, I feel like, is just kind of like a throwback to number 1, I believe. When he's, like, recalling all of the people that he had met who had, like, shook his hands outside, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mad-Eye said that they were Harry's guard, and Lupin said that they were waiting for the all clear, and they had about 15 minutes before they could leave.
Harry asked how they would get there, and Lupin said brooms, because the Fleet Network was monitored, and he was too young to operate. Tonks and Harry went up to his room to pack his stuff. Tonks began studying herself in the mirror and changed her hair to bright pink.
Harry asked if I actually, Vaughn, like that they changed her hair to purple in the movies. Like,
I liked it.
I don't know how you... I don't know how you feel...
It's better purple than pink.
I think so, too, and it was kind of weird. She had, like, that hairstyle where it was, like, spiky pink, I think it was how it was described. I definitely think I prefer the, like, mid-length purple hair that she has in the film.
What do you think the extent of changing your appearance is? Like, could you change your skin color? Like, what if I
I think you probably could. You probably could. The question is, here's the real question. Could she change into, like, a man?
Appearance-wise, yes, but I'm sure there'd be some sort of illusion.
Probably not on the inside.
Not on the inside, no. But appearance-wise,
I don't think anything...
yes, she would be a man. But otherwise, no.
Okay. It's interesting.
I mean, she could just make her face look like a man.
Yeah.
Harry asked how she did that, and she said that she was a metamorph magus, so she could change her appearance at will. Harry asked if it was a learnable skill, but she said that a wizard had to be born with it.
And Vaughn.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, you go first.
And Harry's asking this because Tonks thinks Harry's asking this because he wants to hide Scar, and I think that's pretty.
Yeah. Would you, Vaughn? Would you rather be a metamorph magus or what's that thing called that Queenie is? A Legilimens?
Yes.
Would you rather be a Metamorphmagus or a Legilimens?
I think I'd rather be a Legilimens, because I think I, personally, would try to change my appearance, but then I would completely botch it, and I'd look stupid.
You think so?
Yes. I would want to be a Legilimens.
Okay. But what about, like, because Queenie literally hears everyone's thoughts. Do you know if she gets to pick whose thoughts she hears and whose thoughts she doesn't hear?
Maybe she could, like, she could purposely try to blot out some.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I've always, like, kind of been curious about how that works. Also, sorry, guys, if there's background noise, like,
our families.
Our family's home, and you know how that is. I feel like my, never mind, but anyway, go on, Vaughn.
Tonks cast a spell to make all of Harry's stuff pack itself, and then used another spell to carry the chunk out of the room. And when she cast the spell, like, all the stuff in there is so completely, it's not neat at all, it's just a massive jumble of stuff.
That would annoy me so much, because then you have to reorganize it when you get to school.
Like, unpacking all of that, yeah. They went back downstairs, and Lupin said that they were ready to leave. Before they left, Moody cast a disillusionment charm on Harry, making his body look like his surroundings. Moody told each person where they would be flying, and not to bring rings if one person died. They took off and flew for a while, changing course to avoid muggles. They eventually arrived at a small grassy square surrounded by houses. Lupin took out a small silver box that looked like a cigarette lighter and put out the streetlights.
Is that like the... what is that? The...
It's the Deluminator, and the Deluminator. And he says he borrowed it from Dumbledore, so it is the Deluminator.
It's the... How many Deluminators are there? Like,
I'm sure there are other Deluminators, just not as high quality.
Yeah.
He gave Harry a piece of parchment. Last sentence. The headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix may be found at number 12, Grimmauld Place, London.
So unfortunately today we only have one movie goof, but so I'm gonna let Vaughn read that one.
Around 9 minutes, Mad-Eye Moody tells Kingsley to take point as they escort Harry to headquarters. Wait, to take point? What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess he just says it.
Okay, Mad-Eye Moody tells Kingsley to take point as they escort Harry to headquarters, but throughout the flight, Moody is in the lead. During the flight over the Thames River just before the ferry boat, Kingsley can be seen to Harry's left. Moody should have told Kingsley to guard their flank. Okay, I get it.
So I guess, like, he says, okay, take the front, but yeah. Then, like, Moody is in the front? Okay. So now we're gonna go on to our Hogsmeade journal, and we'll be right back.
I love magic.
Alright, so for our Hogsmeade journal, I just want to talk a little bit about the Secrets of Dumbledore, or Fantastic Beasts 3, if you don't remember the name. So that is coming out in approximately 10 days from the recording of this, or no, 10 days from the release of this, 12 from the recording of this. So Vaughn, are you excited?
Excited as I can be for a Harry Potter movie. I just hope it answers enough questions. I don't... Because, We still have, like, a lot of questions about is Credence really a Dumbledore? I don't want to wait the entire series just to have that question answered. Because, like...
I agree.
We're here for the final battle. Dumbledore versus Grindelwald. Because I don't... Yeah, I think that question should, in my book, be answered. this one.
I agree.
Do you think he's actually going to be the brother of Dumbledore?
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because I think it would cause a lot of issues within the canon. Like, unless this is really thought out, I haven't done that much thinking about it. Most of, like, my knowledge about the theories when it comes to this have to do with the Carlin brothers. And I haven't listened to one of the, I haven't watched one of their episodes about it in a really long time, so I don't, like, have the fresh memory of what they think. I don't know. I think if he is a Dumbledore, it's gonna have to do with the Obscurus, possibly relating to Ariana Dumbledore and her Obscurus. But I don't think that it's going to be, like, blood-related, like, any of that kind of stuff. I think it's either going to have to do with Ariana's Obscurus, or he's not a Dumbledore, and Grindelwald was just lying to him. What do you think?
I think that it's going to be Grindelwald. I think it's not going to be, like, they're directly related. If they are brothers, I think it's going to be some obscure second-hand way to sort of be brothers, not necessarily adoption, but a more magical way, like, maybe something has to do with, like, the blood pact.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe, like, through the blood magic or something, they're brothers. I doubt they're true brothers, and I don't, I think that's the way it will happen, but, you know, I doubt that, like, there was all that hype. Like, Grindelwald was like, you're Dumbledore's brother. And then it's just, no, not at all.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the whole Tina issue? She wasn't in any of the trailers. I know the Carlin brothers think that she's secretly, I forget her name, but, like, Newt's assistant. Just, like, using Apologies Potion. What do you think about that?
I think that's going to be true because the assistant, she did nothing in the first two films. I don't even think she was in the first film. She did literally nothing. And Tina, you can't just get rid of Tina.
Yeah.
I mean, for goodness sake, Queenie's in this.
Yeah.
Newt's brother is in this.
I'm pretty excited, actually. I really like Perseus. So I'm actually really excited about Perseus being in it. What do you think about Perseus?
I mean, I don't really care for him. He's not my favorite character.
I think he's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited to kind of explore, I guess, more of their dynamic as brothers.
Yeah.
Relating to Queenie, I want to see what happens with her and Jacob for sure.
So, I'm still confused. In the second film, was Queenie, like, did she actually think Grindelwald was right, or did she, do you think she's trying to be, like, a spy? What do you think is happening?
No, I think she's actually turning over for Jacob. No, because, so recently, actually, on YouTube, I saw that they had done the red carpet for Fantastic Beasts. I don't know why they've already done it, because it feels a little bit early, but, I mean, she is going to be in Secrets of Dumbledore. I don't know.
What, like, month, she was literally does, in, what month does it release?
It, this month, about 10 days from Tuesday. The 15th of April. But, yeah, I'm super excited for Queenie. Because, like, she's probably my favorite character in Fantastic Beasts. Just kind of sucks that she was only in, like, one frame of the trailer. It was really quick, like, you would have totally missed it.
Wait, who? Tina?
Queenie.
Oh, Queenie? Oh.
Tina wasn't in it at all. Queenie's hair changes in every single movie.
Was Tina in the red carpet?
I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But probably, because she is in the casting list.
Okay, so she's definitely in the movie.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think next week's analysis is actually just going to be predictions for the Secrets of Dumbledore, and then maybe we'll just, like, go over other people's predictions for the analysis. And then the analysis after that will be, like, our reaction to the movie. Because what I want to do is see it. Maybe not opening day. I know that that was what I wanted to do. I don't know if that's going to work out. So if that doesn't work out, we'll just do opening weekend. We'll go see it. And then we'll come home and immediately record our reactions. So it's, like, fresh. What we thought, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I hope you guys all have the opportunity to go see it in theaters so that you can, like, email us, tell us what you thought for when we go over it. Mm-hmm. Why? So for our analysis bond, we're going to be talking about Nymphadora Tonks. Why don't we just go over a basic character profile of Nymphadora? So talk for a second about, like, how you feel about her character.
I like her as a character. I like the relationship that she has with Lupin. When does she show up?
Yeah.
She doesn't really show up a ton. She's in very few scenes.
She shows up the first time in Order of the... there's gonna be, what's it called? Spoilers. So obviously, y'all know that always happens in our analysis. Anyway, she shows up in Order of the Phoenix for the first time, and she's in the Order. Then in number 6, when Harry gets, like, stepped on by Draco in the train, that is actually Tonks who goes in and, like, saves him.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I have a little bit of a character profile right here. I'm just going to go over this and we can talk as we go, okay? So her full name is Nymphadora. I'm not going to read the middle name because I do not think that's true, but it's Nymphadora Lupin.
Let me see the middle name.
Vulpeca. Wait, what?
Lupin. Her middle name is Lupin.
No. Her last name is Lupin.
Oh,
her name is Nymphadora.
She married Lupin. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So Nymphadora Tonks, and then she changes her name to Lupin when she gets married. She was 24 or 25 when she died. Her birthday is between 1st of September 1972 and 31st of August.
Are you her on day the of death? World article?
No.
Oh, okay.
Her day of death is the 2nd of May 1998, and her Patronus is a wolf. And so what happens was her Patronus wasn't always a wolf, but it changed when she, like, fell in love with
Lupin. What was her original Patronus?
Let me look it up. Jack Rabbit. She's an Auror. That's her occupation. She's a half-blood. So let's talk about her parents really quickly. So her mom is Andromeda Tonks. Why don't you talk about that? Like, that family tree.
I don't recall.
You don't remember?
I don't recall any of that.
Okay, Vaughn. Her mom is Andromeda Tonks. Andromeda was Narcissa's sister and Bellatrix's sister. So, and then what happened was Andromeda got, like, burned. Oh, we're just casually running water out here. Sorry, guys, for any background noise. Yeah, so her sisters are Bellatrix and Nymphadora, and what happened was she kind of split off from her family and got burned off of the tapestry when she married a Muggleborn guy. She got married to a Muggleborn. So that then they burned her off the tapestry, and then, obviously, Tonks. She had Tonks. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So then, obviously, she marries Lupin, and, yeah. Why don't you talk about, like, how you feel about her character, Vaughn?
I liked her as a character. Didn't we already do this?
Yeah, but, like, you didn't talk that much, so.
Okay, I like her as a character. She's, like, cocky. And, yeah.
Yeah. Draco Malfoy is her first cousin.
Wait, what?
I didn't even think about it like that.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Because Narcissa is her sister, or her aunt. So Draco's her cousin. Aunt. That's weird. Her son is Ted Tonks. Oh, yeah, Edward. Teddy Lupin is her son. I wish he was in Cursed Child. Why didn't they put him in Cursed Child?
I forget how. Wait, they kind of put Teddy in there. I forget how mixed up the Black family tree is. Cause you've got now it's just. Well, you've got Narcissa, Andromeda, Bellatrix, and Sirius, and Regulus.
Regulus, yeah.
Yeah, Regulus Black. Sirius is, like, I don't want to be evil. I don't want to be just, like, that pureblood guy. So he gets burned off the tree. Then there's Bellatrix, the insane one, that becomes a Death Eater. Then there's...
Doesn't she get burned off, too?
Who?
Bellatrix.
No, she doesn't.
I need to check my... I have the tapestry, remember?
Go on, and it's just so complicated because Sirius's sister, Sirius the good guy, his sister is the terrifying Bellatrix Lestrange.
Wait, no, that's his cousin.
Oh, yeah. Then Tonks has Bellatrix for an aunt, and wait, right?
Yes.
And what would Sirius be to her?
Her cousin. Her second cousin.
Weird family situation.
I'm trying to find Andromeda on the family tree. I see Sirius. I see Draco.
Just look at the burned out ones.
Andromeda, right here. Mm. Yep, she got burnt out. I don't remember. Andromeda, are you sure? Oh, yeah, I see her. Nope, she was not burned out. She's right there.
Yeah, the Black family liked her. She was pro-pureblood, anti-muggle,
For some reason, crazy. I thought she got burned out because she was a Death Eater. Like,
no.
Like, they didn't want to... No? They were, like, an openly Death Eater family?
I mean, not necessarily openly Death Eater, but just not good people.
Yeah.
Okay.
We definitely need to use these books that we got for, like, something in the future for an analysis, because they're great books. What else should... Oh, she's a Hufflepuff. Like, what Hufflepuff traits do you think she even has?
I don't know. You can look at her and think she's a Hufflepuff. I think that like, if you saw her, I'd probably say she's a Hufflepuff or a Gryffindor. But I don't really know what traits she'd have that would be Hufflepuff.
If she were in another house, what house do you think she'd be in? Maybe other than Gryffindor. Because that feels like... I don't think she would be a good Ravenclaw. Because it doesn't really seem like she values intelligence enough.
Yeah. Slytherin, I mean, she's not super ambitious. Like, when she did aura training, she didn't even study for the disguise part.
Yeah. Okay, so we have some fun facts here. Pretty sure it's really terrifying when we're recording and my wireless earbuds say battery low in my voice because they say it with, like, it's just really scary because the volume just blasts into my headphones, like, this automated voice. Yeah, anyway, so Tonks graduated the same year from Hogwarts that Harry, Ron, and Neville, Hermione, Neville, and Draco started at Hogwarts. So Tonks is the same age as Charlie Weasley and graduated the year that he graduated. Tonks and Lupin were also originally intended to survive the Battle of Hogwarts, and J.K. Rowling planned on killing Arthur Weasley in the Order of the Phoenix, and he was going to be killed by Nagini. But Arthur ended up surviving, meaning that Tonks and Lupin had to go.
No! They could have just killed Arthur. I'd been so much more okay with that.
What? No way. No way.
Yes way.
I should change my account profile on our InsideHogwarts.com because Tonks is probably not one of my favorite characters anymore.
Why?
I don't know. She's just like, I don't really get why I liked her that much. She's not that interesting, you know?
Oh.
She's just kind of like, whatever.
But I would probably rather just her die, but not Lupin. Because I like Lupin.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. Anything else you want to say about Tonks?
I think I've said all I can about liking her, about how I like her as a character. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say either. I know that analysis was short and kind of a little bit sad, honestly.
We didn't really talk much about her. Don't you have those fun facts?
I read them.
Oh, okay.
Because there's not that much extra stuff about her, because we already did our, like, Lupin thing?
Yeah.
That kind of went into her, too. So I guess that's it for today. But I'm so excited for next week, because we can finally do our, like, Secrets of Dumbledore predictions.
Yeah.
We might have to rewatch the Fantastic Beasts and Crimes of Grindelwald in order to, like, be prepared for it. But obviously we have spring break this week, so that'll be pretty easy to do. And then we can, like, form our predictions off of that. Maybe watch a few Super Carlin Brothers videos and, like, decide if we like the predictions or not, you know? So that is it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. What else? Check out our website, insidehogwarts.com. You can email us at insidehogwartspod@gmail.com. Let us know all of your thoughts on today's episode.
Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. And I think that's it for today's episode. So, yeah, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check back every Tuesday for another episode of Inside Hogwarts.